This is Voices of SAE with Sean Kirker, and I'm speaking with Joe Melton. You're one of the first alumni we are interviewing for this whole project. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great, Sean. Good to speak with you.
All right. So kind of the purpose is that not just getting the stories of the alumni and what they're doing now for kind of increasing networking, but also so the actives can kind of tell their points of view and also make it a fundraiser. Also including the sweethearts and, you know, the people that support us. So, Joe, in general, what do you think of the general concept?
I think it's great. I'm sure we've all got a lot of stories that we'd love to share in here and continue to give the new guys, the younger generation, some ideas to have a good time.
All right. So what year were you born and in what city?
1976, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And where are you now?
Indianapolis.
So what was your pledge class and year?
Beta Pi, and it would have been in the spring of 1996.
Okay, so what are you doing for work now, and what's the company?
I've always been in sales and marketing. Currently, I'm an accounting executive at PFL, downtown Indianapolis.
And what do they do?
Tactile marketing automation. We help our companies incorporate direct mail into their marketing.
Okay. All right, so did that line up with your major?
Actually, I majored in philosophy with a minor in business, but I always knew I was going to go into sales. Partially, I couldn't pass calculus to get a business degree. But also, I always knew that the philosophy degree really taught me how to relate to others, how to understand their points of view, nature, nurture, and to basically, I think, be able to be more understanding of others. And that's a universal skill.
Okay, so where'd you go to high school?
Noblesville.
And how did you connect with SAE when you got on campus?
When I was a freshman, I lived in La Follette, and a bunch of guys on my floor, like Sean Carlin and some others, had rushed. And I wasn't interested in doing it in the fall, but by the spring, we had become good friends. I had seen all the houses, and I knew I wanted to be in E, and so I rushed in the spring.
So what made them unique? What really made the brothers stand out in comparison to the other guys and the other houses?
Partially just was... I thought they had common interests as me. I knew some Sigma Chi's and some Delta Chi's, and I'd been to their houses and their rush events. I just thought they were a little stuffy. And I also liked that the SEs had just won the sports trophy the year before, and that was something. They were always out playing volleyball, playing sports. That's what I was into. I had won the intramural men's tennis tournament for Independence in the fall, and that's what I wanted to be part of.
Okay. So what positions did you hold at the house, if any?
I was social chair for 2 years and a rush chair for one semester.
All right. So did you do anything unique in those positions or outside of those positions?
Well, I'd like to think we created a lot of unique experiences as social chair. I certainly learned a lot. Sean, you were social chair. Nips, I think, was Nips before you or after you?
He was after me. He was after you.
So you guys gave me a binder of ideas, and they were great. I hope that there are still guys today using some of them. Some of my favorite ones that you did, you know, as social chair, you've got two jobs. One, you have to pitch sororities on the idea of doing a paired event that they're going to want to do and be fun, rather than just throwing just a, hey, anybody come and have a good time party. And so I would go to the other sororities chapters on Sunday, and I would pitch them ideas for the next week or two to come do a co-party with us. And we'd always have it be just us in the beginning, from like 9 to 11, not let anybody else in besides the sorority and us. And I don't know if it was the couple ideas that really worked well to be entertaining and get people really going was we would do a lock and key where everybody that walked in the door, the girls would get a small padlock, and all the guys would have a key that would match one of those locks. And so you'd spend the first 20 minutes just introducing yourself to every girl at the party and seeing if your key fit in their lock. And if it did, the lock opens, and now she's your partner for the night, and then you start doing the activities we'd planned. But after a while, we learned that locks are expensive and can get thrown and break windows. And so then we started replacing the lock and key with just two decks of cards. Girls pick a card, guys pick a card, introduce yourself, and find somebody with the same card that you have. But then once you had your partner, your game, Sean, of anything for money became a staple, where we use Monopoly money for Monopoly games. Everybody gets the same set amount when you start. And then you bet each other to do things that would then earn more money. And then at the end of the night, whoever had the most money won the prize, which was usually a dinner for two for you and your partner at a restaurant. But without going into details, you can imagine a bunch of people having a good time betting each other to do anything they can think of became a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't even know if Foxfire's is still there, but it was like Jim Henson that created Garfield's restaurant. It was the only five-star, blah, blah, blah. That was the... I think it was that, and then something else was the prize when we did it. But
Bart Strauss worked there too, and so we got good deals with him, and that was always what everybody wanted.
Okay, all right. So who do you remember who your sweetheart was?
Raquel.
Raquel, and do you remember her last name? This moment.
Well, she later married Jason Booz, one of our fraternity brothers, and so it was Raquel Booz. Unfortunately, we lost Jason to a tragic accident later on, but Raquel Booz.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll definitely get a hold of Raquel, but let's get into kind of some of the stories. If there's, you know, homecoming or parties or about the cooks or walkouts or, you know, just tailgates, anything that really kind of sticks out that you want to tell?
Yeah, there's a few things that jump out at me. Number one is the walkouts were always great. So we went to Cincinnati one year, but just going around and capturing the actives and then stealing their car keys and then driving their cars around and capturing other actives was always super fun. And frankly, when you've got an active tied up, you know, it's a great chance to get to know them because they can't go anywhere. Yeah, they're upset for a little while, but walkouts were where I got to know the other brothers that were older than me really, really well. I thought, there was such a way to help each other no matter what in all things. There are a number of times that we all kept each other out of trouble and, you know, we looked out for each other, which I will, you know, to this day appreciate. There was one year at Watermelon Bust where, you're out in the middle of the field, university field, you're playing games with watermelons and everybody's getting competitive. And one of the other guys in one of their houses, who was a little too intoxicated, right at the end as we're about to win, didn't like that, came over and smashed our watermelon. And me having a bad initial reaction to that, I stupidly hit him. And immediately regretted it. And instead of the other fraternity guys, the other house, like, tackling me, which I thought they were going to, instead they immediately all started yelling, "Go get security." And they were going to have me, like, charges pressed against me for punching their fraternity brother. And right as this was happening, I just remember distinctly picturing the punishment I was going to face, potentially being kicked out of college. And then right then, two of my pledge brothers grabbed me, threw a sweatshirt over my head, and started walking me, escorting me out of university field. And I can hear people yelling at me, like, "That's the guy, that's the guy." And so they just keep pushing me faster and faster. And we get out of university field, we get onto McKinley, and we start booking down McKinley. And one of my pledge brothers, I can't think who it was, but he takes off his shirt, which was not an SAE shirt, puts it on me, so I'm no longer wearing our letters, and he puts on another sweatshirt that he had. So now we're all inconspicuous, and we all pulled in different directions. When I get to university, I make the left by the Sig Up House, and a cop pulls up next to me and goes, "Hey, were you just at Watermelon Bust? Did you just hit somebody?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not in a fraternity. I'm just walking home." And he goes, "Where do you live?" I'm like, "On Neely, where I used to live." And he's like, "All right, have a good day." And so my two fraternity brothers saved me from doing one of the dumbest things I've ever done and getting caught for it.
Did you learn your lesson?
I did learn my lesson. That was a good one to learn. So sometimes we do dumb things and we get away with it.
Well, listen, do you have any other specific one that you want to tell?
Yeah. Pause it for a second.
Okay.
I think what's been interesting since college is every time I meet somebody who says they're an SAE and you give them the Phi Alpha and the grip, it's such a great starting point for a new friendship. And I have at least six different friends I can think of now that did not go to Ball State, that I had never met till later in life, but learned either through mutual friends that they were an SE or they told me, and we've become great friends since. My friend Mike Sullivan, who is an SAE a couple of years behind me in college at Ball State, he's just social animal, always meeting new people. And he met a couple guys from DePauw, Jason Steerwalt and Jason Bunch. And they became part of our circle. And then later on, we met an SAE named John Helgamo from IU. And to this day, at least four or five times a summer, we'll all go to Deer Creek together and go see a concert, just go have some fun, play some games, get together and play poker. And it's just interesting to me that just giving somebody the Phi Alpha and the grip is a universal sign of, this is somebody I think I'd want to hang out with. And it's just a really great way that has sparked friendships continually.
All right. So how did SAE prepare you for the real world?
Did it? I think what it partially did is once you get into the work world, you are going to be forced to be around people that you may not have anything in common with. You may not even really like, but having emotional intelligence to get along with people and to find common ground is key to success. I think it might be more important than intelligence. And living in a house with 30 plus other guys, some of which you're very close with, others which you aren't. Some of them, like Dennis Rozef, wanted to party late every Thursday night to the wee hours. Some of us didn't. You know, you're forced to learn to get along and to appreciate others for who they are and to find the good in others and to try to put aside anything that maybe you don't like. And to really get along as a family, because that's really what family is. You're not always going to agree. You're not always going to see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, you're family. And that's what it was like. And since then, in the work world, there's always going to be times that you have to work with people that you don't appreciate. But that experience, I think, helped with a lot of patience and learning to get along with anybody in any situation.
That's great. All right, so who else from your era, if you're gonna name them off, and I know you can name a ton, but who else do you think should also tell some of these stories that you'd be interested in hearing them tell their versions?
My little bro, Mike Sullivan, would be a great one. My big bro, Bracken Ross, I'd love to hear some of his stories. I mentioned Dennis Rozef. Dennis went on to be a great DJ, and he learned the ropes in his room at Ball State. I'd love to hear some of Dennis Rozef's stories. He was a Beta Omicron. That's a good... Actually, you know what? Who you should absolutely talk to, too, is Dave McCulley, who's down in Florida now. And you should talk to Todd Therian.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe... Phi Alpha, thank you for sharing. I hope the younger guys get a lot out of this and this whole growth thing we're going to be doing. But I'm going to close this out and just stay on the line.
Phi Alpha.